This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
With Chris Canty, we turn to you and we say a good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm doing okay this morning. My Lakers got a big win last night to go up 3-1 on the Heat, as I knew I would. I predicted a gentleman's sweep before that series even got started. Looks like that's on schedule. But last night with the Yankees, man, I just thought that they got too cute for their own good. I think they looked at this as a five-game series, and they tried to plot out the best strategy in terms of being able to get Happ in there for a start. And they tried to tee it up for him with getting the Rays to set a lefty-heavy lineup, five lefty bats in their lineup last night, and then sneak him in there in the second inning, and it just looked like it backfired because J. Happ wasn't good at all.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Oh, good morning, David. Before we take a quick turn down to Negative Town, I just want to take the time quickly to wish my beautiful daughter, Ella, a happy birthday this morning.
What number are we at here today?
We're at four already. We're at number four already.
Oh, goes fast, doesn't it?
It goes way too fast, man.
Right?
Way too fast.
Yep. But by the time you know it, you'll wake up and you'll blink. You'll be like, wait, she's 13?
Yeah, so 15? We're in Paris. We're in Paris today. She wanted a Parisian birthday, so I'm doing the show with a beret on currently.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Is croissants for lunch?
Yeah. Chocolate croissants.
Nice.
You better believe it, baby. Oh, yeah. We're going all out.
All right. Can you take us to Negative Town now?
Negative Town? Yeah, I didn't understand it. I mean, we'll listen to some of the sound with J. Happ at some point in the next couple minutes. But he clearly wasn't on board, right? I mean, he wasn't on board. This is why I hate analytics. I get analytics. I think you should use analytics. But you take the human element out of it. Like, you don't know how J. Happ, and clearly after the game he was upset about it, how he's going to react to coming into a game in the second inning.
Right.
Not going through his normal routine. Not to mention, J. Happ struggles in his first inning. J. Happ isn't very good. Like, he's not. He's really not good in his first inning. And on top of it, if I were to ask you before this game started, which inning, if they actually let Davey Garcia pitch the game, which inning would Davey Garcia, in his first postseason start, have the most trouble with?
The first inning.
Exactly right. So what
I thought he was fine.
No, he was fine. His secondary stuff was good. He didn't have great control of his fastball. I mean, he's probably a little bit nervous. So I would expect him to struggle a little bit in the first inning. So you're not going to get the best out of Davey Garcia.
Plus, Rizzaroni's hitting home runs off of everybody.
So. Let me say it. A Rosarena is.
There you go, Dave.
I was sleepless last night. He's terrific. He's an unbelievable player.
I don't understand. After you did what you did, to Blake Snell and that pitching staff in the first game, what you've done to Bieber, Carrasco. I mean, you're talking about these are some of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball that you've dominated. Why all of a sudden now are we choosing to get cute like this?
I don't know. How are you not livid about this?
Dave, this was like Revenge of the Nerds. That's what this was. Like, our analytics department also hates the Rays. So we want a piece of the Rays, and we want to come up with this fakakta opener with Davey Garcia and J. Happ, which, oh, by the way, the Rays didn't even flinch.
You think they had no idea? Michael
of course
Kay,
they
I
did.
I was listening to the show yesterday. Kay on his show is saying he thinks they're going to go to Montgomery after the first inning. This was obvious that this was the plan. Now, it wasn't Montgomery, but it was Happ, which is,
It should have been Montgomery, though.
It should have been Montgomery. Anyone, I would have felt Montgomery. A lot better about Montgomery than Happ going in there.
That is
I told
awful.
You guys all season, I don't trust J. Happ, especially in a postseason game. And I get it that Montgomery and Garcia don't have that experience, but in terms of what they've shown me with their stuff and their ability to pitch and get out of trouble, I felt better about those guys than J. Happ. J. Happ ain't been right all year, man.
He was awful.
This was not the guy that we saw a couple of years ago in the second half of that season where he was lights out and he didn't lose a game. This is not that same J. Happ. And so I think Brian Cashman just got too smart for himself, for his own good. He said, you know what, if I'm going to pitch Happ at some point in a five-game set, let me try to hide him in game two. And I just think in this type of situation, you try to win as many games as you can, as quickly as you can, and you deal with the problems of game three when they come up. You cross that bridge when you get there.
Completely agree. But here's the thing. If you wanted J. Happ, why not just start J. Happ? Like, if that's the guy, you want to get this lefty-heavy lineup, like you have some tremendous advantage there? It makes
But he didn't
no
even do a great
they
job
don't
against
trust
the lefties.
J-Happ. They don't trust J-Happ either.
But he didn't do a great job against the lefties. Why all of a sudden? I mean, I know Tampa's a good team, but this is not a murderer's row of a lineup. It's not. He didn't do the job against the lefties. I mean, Wendell reaches on a single, and then you got the Zeno two-run home run. He walks
the
Troy.
The righties were the one that did the damage, though. You had Margot and
But there's a solo home runs won't kill you. The home runs were to the righties, but he was in there to get lefties out.
Yeah.
And he's not a lefty slayer. That's not who J-Hap is.
No, but his numbers are marginally better against lefties than righties, as you would expect.
Yeah, but marginally. They're marginally better. So why am I going to risk having him be uncomfortable going into a game in the second inning because he can't go through his routine, which clearly he was.
That's what it was. It's too much analysis.
Yeah, but why are you trying to...
What's the phrase? Paralysis by analysis? That's what it was last night.
If I were to ask you, who is the smartest analytical team in Major League Baseball?
I'd probably say Tampa Bay.
Okay, exactly right. So why are you trying to outsmart them? The reason why Kevin Cash during the game said he was surprised wasn't because it was something that he hadn't thought about. It was because he doesn't think it was a great move in the first place. Yeah, we thought about it. Not really a great move. I wouldn't do it. I mean, that would be like the Los Angeles Chargers trying to pull a fast one on Bill Belichick in Foxborough.
Yes.
We're going to have Justin Herbert start.
They'll spend the entire week
preparing for Justin Herbert, and then after the first possession, we'll put in Tyrod Taylor. It's still Tyrod Taylor.
That'll shock him. Right.
It's still Jay Happ.
You're 100% right. I mean, and Garcia wasn't bad. It's not like he went out there and got banged around in the first inning and four hits and three runs. You're like, oh, God, we have to get him out. He was fine.
You saw him leaning over the edge of the dugout. He was disgusted. He didn't want to come out of that game. But I guess this was the plan going into it. And, you know, both guys had to be on board with it because this is what Brian Cashman ultimately wanted. And who's going to push back on Brian Cashman in that organization if that's what his department says they should try to go with as an overall strategy?
I think the fans are probably going
to push
back.
Aaron Boone. So it doesn't make sense to come out here and criticize Aaron Boone. I know they try to frame it as a collaborative effort, but it's not collaborative. It's Brian Cashman going to Aaron Boone and saying, this is what we want to do, and now you sell it to the players and get those guys to be on board with it.
Chris, if you're going to give Aaron Boone credit for for playing Clint Frazier in some of the other movies, you have to give him. I mean, he's going to take some.
I don't give him credit for that though, Rico. When did we get Aaron Boone credit for setting a lineup like that? When have we done that all year? We haven't.
I'm not saying us. I'm saying Yankees fans in general. We'll give him credit when he makes a decision. When we all know it's. I mean, this is him sitting in a room with Brian Cashman in the analytics department making these decisions or coming up with these decisions.
But this is not on Boone. This is Cashman and beyond.
Oh, and you could see that after the game.
This is what we've crunched the numbers, and this is what we've come up with, and this is what you have
to do. Yeah, but then, see, again, going back to why I hate analytics, I don't care what the numbers tell you with the platoon and everything else. I understand that. But you're also talking about human beings and how in certain situations they're going to react, either positively or negatively. And clearly... I mean, you got to play some of this half sound. I couldn't believe what he was saying. Like, you could clearly tell he was. I mean, there was a one point during the game where you thought he hurt himself. I mean, he threw a ball to make it 3-0, and he walked off the mound like he was hurt. They actually thought he was hurt, but he was so disgusted.
Of course, he's disgusted.
I don't want to hear that from Hap. Like, I really just don't. You know what I mean? Because it's like everything is not always going to be ideal. You're still expected to go out there and perform. And what the organization tried to do is set you up to have success by creating the very best matchups with this Rays lineup that they possibly could. And you still went out there and stunk up the joint. So I don't really want to hear all of that from Hap. I don't need a player's psyche being that fragile where they can't go out there and perform in the postseason, do their job, and try to help their team win a championship.
Yeah, but it hasn't been great the entire season. I don't know why you would choose this time to mess with it. I mean, it's pretty much an open hand slap in your face. We don't trust you. Yeah, is what they told him.
Well, I think that's obvious, but think about it, Rick. In a five-game series, weren't you going to have to use Hap at some point in some role with no days off? You were going to have to use him at some point.
I understand. So why not give him the best opportunity to have success where he feels the most comfortable, which is clearly going through his routine starting a game?
Yeah, but they don't trust that. They don't believe in that. Clearly, that's why they went with this strategy.
So now what you're telling me then is that you trust Jordan Montgomery in game four is what you trust.
Well, yeah, some combination of Jordan Montgomery and Davey Garcia. They said they're going to see him again in game four at some point. So, I mean, yeah, I trust – here's what I would have rather had, Rick. I would have rather them gone with Tanaka like they did in game two in Cleveland and then see if you can go up 2-0 in this series, and then we'll figure out game three when we get to it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Let's not try to get ahead of ourselves and get too cute. They're planning out the series before it even happens. My thing is this, go with Tanaka, who is your second-best pitcher, against their second-best pitcher in Tyler Glasnow, or the guy that they believe is their second-best pitcher. Why not do that and see what you can come up with?
I just don't understand why. I mean, you scored 31 runs in three games. The offense hasn't been a problem.
Last night, too. I understand Tyler on the board.
And I understand Tyler Glasnow. I mean, he can be dominant. That's fine. But, I mean, you beat up Shane Bieber, Blake Snell, and Carrasco. Like you were gonna be able to score runs. Why not just have a short hook then with Davey Garcia? Like, let the kid settle in a little bit, see what he's capable of doing. I'm being completely honest with you. They haven't seen Davey Garcia yet. They've seen Hap before. As far as stuff is concerned, if I'm on the Rays, you did me a favor by taking Davey Garcia out.
Yeah,
Jay Hap.
Rick, you absolutely could have went with like a piggyback start. Davey Garcia, let him give you four innings, maybe five innings, and then you see if you go to Loaizaga or somebody else that can give you multiple innings, and you see where you're at as the game unfolds. That probably would have been the better strategy. But I guess they felt like they were going to have to use Hap at some point, and this was the spot that they felt most comfortable in coming into game two after a game one win, knowing that it wasn't a do-or-die situation, it wasn't a pivotal point in the series. So they believed.
Well, we'll see.
That's the only reason why I think they kept Tanaka until game three.
I will tell you
because they were going to experiment in game two.
If they lose this series, you will look back at last night and say, that's when they lost it. You will.
This is the turning point. This will be the turning point.
This is a huge turning point. If they lose tonight, you'll be upset with Tanaka, but you'll still turn back to game two and say, why did they do that? It made no sense. It still makes no sense. They outthought themselves. They got too cute. They got too smart is what happened there.
Yeah, I don't listen. If at some, you realize you're going to need J-Hap one way or another in a five-game series with no days off. You're going to need J-Hap. I would want to put him in. I would have to sit down with J-Hap and say, what do you feel most comfortable doing? If we decide to go with Davey Garcia in the first inning, have you get ready and pitch the second, is that something that you feel comfortable with? If he says
but
no.
But clearly not.
Well, obviously he didn't.
Clearly not. Listen, you talked about it all morning. 800-919-3776. Here he is. J-Hap, after the game, says he told the Yankees and Boone, both of those parties, that he would have preferred to start game two.
All things equal, yes. Having said that, and this is important, I want to repeat, when I'm in there, you got 100% of me. So I gave it what I had. I wasn't worried about when I was coming in at the time. I was trying to focus and trying to execute and trying to pitch.
Did you express that to Aaron or whoever when they presented this plan to you?
They know how I felt about it, but ultimately I pitch. When I pitch, you got me. There was no hesitation and no dwelling on what was going on. I was focused and trying to perform. I wish I would have done a better job.
But you hear him. You hear him tell you it's not what he wanted. Isn't the goal of a manager and a team to put a player in a position that he can succeed at the highest level? That wasn't what they did for Hap yesterday. And I'm not saying he's great.
Yeah, but
that's what they tried to do.
But you don't take – that's the problem with analytics, though. They don't
take all that out.
Exactly right.
It's not baked in. Correct.
Which I don't like, which I hate, actually.
Well, because it takes the feel of managing out, the feel of running a team out. It's just, it's robotic. This guy, better in this situation, put him in there. But it doesn't take into account of, he's a human being, and maybe he doesn't feel comfortable coming in the second inning. It's not what he does. It's not his comfort zone.
Well, clearly it's not his comfort zone. I mean, the fact is he told his manager,
right,
I would rather start the game. So, I get it. You're with matchups and everything else and, Boone going, and you could tell he was uncomfortable after the game answering the questions. That, the way Tampa's built to take advantage of platoons. I mean, the guys that they're going to platoon, aren't the guys that you're scared of in the lineup anyway.
No. Who do you have more confidence?
Those guys aren't being taken out of the lineup. I don't care if it's lefty or righty. The guys that are hurting you in the series are staying in the lineup.
Right. Those are their guys. Who do you have more confidence in, Garcia or Hap, Chris?
Garcia.
Oh, there you go. What more is there to analyze?
Well, I guess you just can't predict what Garcia was going to give you. I guess that relatively unknown made them a little bit comfortable, but also the idea of Hap having to go out there and start a game and the Rays lineup know they're facing Hap, that probably made them uncomfortable too. I listen, it's not like Kevin Cash and the Rays didn't think that that was a possibility, but I just think this is more about Brian Cashman trying to find a situation where Hap would have the most success. And I get it, man. Listen, I understand that Hap is a creature of habit, as most professional athletes are. We got our habits, and we believe that they ultimately lead to us having some level of success. And anytime you take us out of those habits, those routines, guys don't like it. Guys are uncomfortable. But to that, I would say this is the playoffs. And sometimes you're going to be asked to do things that you might be a little uncomfortable with, but they're what's in the best interest of the team, and you got to try to make it work. And for me, J-Hap just didn't pitch well last night, and I'm not going to let him off the hook, even though we don't love the strategy that Brian Cashman and the Yankees employed. He still got to go out there and make pitches. And he didn't last night.
I agree with you. Completely agree with you. But I still will say I think Garcia right now gives you a better chance of winning. And that's what would frustrate me so much as a fan of the New York Yankees. You took out a guy who I do have some confidence in and put in a guy who I have lesser amount of confidence in.
And on top of that, you put him in a situation where he's not comfortable.
Right.
So I can say, I mean, listen, I mean, when you make decisions like this, you hope that the guy you go to bails you out because you know that you're going to get criticized if it doesn't work, which is exactly what happened.
100%.
So if you already have a little trepidation of pitching Jay Happ, I personally would want to put him in the situation he feels most comfortable in, is what I would do.
So start him.
Well, no, because, I mean, he pitched. He wasn't good. He didn't make his pitches. But how much of that is because he wasn't comfortable? We made all the excuses for Tanaka. It was raining. It was windy. Okay, so that was part. You can say it's an excuse or part of the reason. I would say part of the reason why Jay Happ wasn't great, and I don't think he's great to begin with, but was because he wasn't on board with the plan. That has to be baked into the performance. It has to be.
Yeah, but I've seen him where he's comfortable coming out as a starter and not be good.
I get what you're saying, but you were going to need him to pitch in the series.
Yes.
At least put him in a spot where he feels most comfortable, and if he fails, you know what? He fails, that's on him.
So if you were plotting it out, then where would you have had him pitch? In game two, just let him be the starter? Or somewhere, you know, game four?
I probably would have saved him for game four. If I was going to do this piggyback, this fugaziness, I would have let Davey Garcia pitch is what I would have done. But if I had this whole, you know, piggyback idea, it would have been Garcia, Montgomery, and then I went Tanaka game three, and then if I need to use Happ, I'll use him in game four.
But maybe I get 5 1/3 out of Garcia, and I can just go to my bullpen.
Exactly right. You never know.
You didn't score runs. You scored 5 runs. You had 4 runs through 5 innings. I mean, you were putting runs on the board.
And you had chances in the 7th and the 9th.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, boys, is last night it looked a little bit different when the Yankees were playing from behind with their at-bat quality. It looked a little bit different.
Well, it would help if they had an umpire that actually could call a strike.
See, huh?
He's awful. Oh. He was an embarrassment.
The one to LeMahieu was
a joke.
Egregious.
How about the one to Torres? How about the one to Torres?
That was bad. The one to Torres was bad.
Awful.
Like, I was clearly outside. Clearly outside.
But they're not even close.
Not even close. He did Davey Garcia no favors either.
No.
And that Arraisaroni bat at bat.
No, he's a some player, though.
He's horrendous. He's, I mean.
But that's
the other thing, though. I get it. I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. Like, the premise of it made sense. But, I mean, you act like...
Too cute.
No, but you act like you're making a decision going up against the Yankees lineup. Tampa's a good team, but offensively, they're not a great team.
No. Does Joey Wendell terrify you?
No. He's a good baseball player.
No, he's good, but...
He was damn good last night. He was damn good last night.
But you're not going into the game saying, we can't let Joey Wendell beat us. Their guys are their guys.
But that's the other thing, though, too, with the matchups and everything else. The guys that you're afraid of weren't coming out of the lineup.
No.
If it was left or right, they weren't coming out.
It's bad. Listen, let's be fair. The Yankees did an awful job last night. And we're going to go to the phone calls, and I'm sure every Yankees fan is going to be horrified at how they handled the situation.
Here's another thing before we take our first call that I had a problem with. Someone needs to explain to me, why do you have Mike Ford on the line, on the roster, if you're not going to use him to pinch hit for Gary Sanchez there?
Yeah.
Why, I don't understand.
That one. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, that was a terrible at-bat.
It was awful.
A horrible at-bat. He had no chance.
I didn't like either one of those at-bats at the top of the 7th. They were all bad at-bats at the end of that inning. All bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, again, listen, I just don't understand. I mean, I get why they did it, but the second I sit down, I mean, there's blame to go around. I mean, Jay Happ has to execute. I get it. I mean, it's his job. That's what he gets paid to do. And they were trying to do him a solid by, you know, we know you struggle in the first inning. We'll get, you know, David to go through the top of the lineup.
You. Yep.
But on both sides, it didn't make sense to me. Davey Garcia is 21 years old, pitching in his first postseason game. Chris, put yourself in that situation. It's your first postseason game. The nerves are going to be through the roof. If you're going to struggle in that game, which you're probably going to, it's going to be as soon as it starts.
It's going to be early. You're going to make them early.
Which is exactly what happened. Like, you could tell he was overthrowing his fastball. So you're not getting the best out of Davey Garcia. That's not it. The first inning is not going to be his best inning.
Yeah, but once you get hit in the mouth, like in a football game, once you get hit in the mouth, you settle down and you get into a groove.
Exactly.
And you were hoping that after that first inning, after he gave up that solo home run to a Rosarena, maybe he could have settled down and just get back to basics.
But why would you think?
Because I mean, the kid has shown that he can give you length.
Exactly.
Like he's had never three or four starts where he's given you good. 7 innings plus. So I mean, you know that he can give you length if he settles down. So the hope would be get past the first inning, you see where it goes. But you could just see the kid hanging out from the dugout, man, and he was disappointed.
But he knew it.
Like, you could see he wanted to be out there. Like, if he was going to start the game, give him a chance and see what he's capable of doing. But that wasn't what the plan was. They didn't trust that. But I don't understand why you don't trust Garcia, but you're going to opt to put in a guy that you don't trust in Jay Happ that has to have everything absolutely perfect in order for you to justify putting him into the game. That's the part that doesn't make sense. Like, if a guy has to have everything absolutely perfect for you to then think about putting him in the game, then why are you even considering playing him at all? Especially if you're in a situation where you absolutely don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's what the case was last night with the Yankees. You didn't absolutely have to pitch Jay Happ in game two. So if you didn't feel comfortable with him pitching in a series, period, but you knew you were going to have to use him, why not wait until the last possible moment and put it off to game four?
Or a less pressure-packed moment. Right? You know, you're down 5-2. All right, you know what? We're not going to win this game. Let's get Happ in there. We need to eat innings.
Let him eat innings
through all these innings.
Out of the bullpen?
No, but you need Happ to pitch, Dave.
Oh, okay. I mean, then you know what? Maybe game four, up 2-1. Game four, 3-3 in the third. Maybe you put him in there. Like it didn't have to be last night. It felt like you overplayed your hand.
No, they had to pitch him.
Didn't have to be last night.
Well, it didn't have to be. I mean, at some point during the series, and now what you also did is you backed yourself into a corner. Now Garrett Cole has to pitch game five.
Yes.
Regardless of how he feels. He's got to pitch game five if he makes it to a game five. And he's never pitched on short rest before.
Yeah. This is what you are now. All right. People are clamoring. They're desperate to get involved with the conversation. Let's do it. 800-919-3776. Jason in Jersey, lead us off, Jay. I'm sure you're upset about the Yankees last night. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
I am a little bit upset about the media. I guess that's you, Dave, because Rick and Chris are athletes, so I respect them a little bit more.
Oh, give me a break. Give me a break.
Dave,
so I can't have an opinion.
Dave played high-level tennis at 8. Stop.
Let me go to my next point.
Why is your opinion better than my opinion?
It's not. What I'm saying is, if this works, you guys are saying today how great and smart Boone and Cashman were for doing it. Jay Happ was set up to do his job, like Chris said. We don't need to, what do we need to put flowers out there? What do we got to do for you, dude? That's your job, go out and do it. And he didn't do it. It was a good idea.
His job is to start games. His job, timeout. Jay Happ, his job is to start baseball games. And he told his manager that that's what he felt most comfortable doing. So if you trust him to pitch from the second on, then you should trust him from the first inning.
2020, 2019, we're seeing pitchers come in at all different angles.
He's not used to doing it. He doesn't feel comfortable doing it. I get he needs to go out and perform, but if you already don't trust him, at least put him in a situation where he feels comfortable. And if you want to have a quick hook, then get a quick hook. It did nothing for you. It did nothing for you. Kevin Cash didn't blink. He did not blink when you made the move.
Why would he?
You did him a favor. Is what you did,
couch guys. Like it didn't work out. It wasn't a terrible idea.
It was a terrible idea.
It wasn't.
It was, Jason. You never played the game, so you can't really understand. And thanks for the call. It was a terrible idea. It was ridiculous. From the start.
Listen, I understood the thinking behind the idea. I didn't think you needed to do it after winning Game One in the fashion that you won Game One. What we've seen over the first three games of this postseason, offensively from the Yankees, I don't think that you needed to get this cute in game two.
No, you didn't absolutely have to do this, Rick. You didn't. And that's what makes it one of those moves that if it works out, you're the hero. If it doesn't work out, you're a jerk. Like, that's just one of those things. Like, this is one of those decisions that you say, oh, if you work out, Brian Cashman's a genius. Aaron Boone is pushing all the right buttons. Yeah, but it doesn't work out, then people are going to look at this as the pivot point and say, we got to blame Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone for putting the Yankees behind the eight ball and letting the Rays back in the series. That's how these decisions work out. That's how they're evaluated. If it works, it's good. If it doesn't, you're the GOAT, and not in a good way. So, I mean, it's just – it didn't have to happen last night. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. You didn't have to use this strategy last night. Go with your best pitcher that's available, which was Tanaka, and then see what would happen with that game and see how the rest of the series unfold. But to think because you're up one game that you're playing with house money, that's just the wrong kind of logic when you're talking about a postseason series. To me, you try to win as many games as you can, as quickly as you can, and move on.
Too cute. Couldn't agree
more.
Yeah,
but I don't. But here's the other thing, though. I don't understand what matchups. Kevin Cash was going to go to his platoon matchups, probably more in the middle to late innings of that game. You'd imagine, right? Like that's when he would start making adjustments.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to start the righty, so they went heavy lefty. Then you bring in the lefty, because now all of a sudden you like those matchups lefty on lefty. So now if you're Kevin Cash, okay, I'm going to adjust. Right? I'm going to use some righties. Now you got, but you're using up matchups for what reason? You still have two. I mean, the lefties in the back of your bullpen are dominant. You're worried about matchups with Britton and Chapman?
No. And you hadn't used Chapman the night before. So you had a completely rested Chapman who hasn't pitched in days and days.
Like, I have no problem going with Tanaka in game three. I mean, 1, 3, and 5, those are the games. That's fine. But you didn't give either guy the opportunity to actually have success last night, in my opinion. Like, Davey Garcia is not an opener. Like, you're trying to be sneaky. Like, oh, you know, if we have Chad Green start the game, they'll know that he's only going to pitch an inning, so they won't have a heavy lefty lineup. But they didn't make adjustments after Davey Garcia left anyway.
It's a bad job. Get too cute. You think they had no idea? They weren't fazed by that.
They had to. I mean, you're talking about one of the smartest teams in Major League Baseball. That was a thought. I'm sure if Kay said it yesterday on his show.
You think they had no idea? I mean, come on. I'm sure they weren't fazed by that in the lead. They didn't look fazed by it for sure. I mean, they hit two home runs, bomb home runs off him.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, he's not a daunting lefty either.
No.
I don't get it.
Now you're texting
I think you did him a favor. I would have been more concerned about David Garcia.
They overplayed their hand. Now you're texting me. Is this true? We have K coming up at 9:30.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh, how about that? Look at you. You're producing the show. You're hosting the show.
Yeah, I'm in Paris as we speak. I'm doing the show live from Paris.
That's right.
The show.
I made a fake Eiffel Tower and everything.
You guys are not talking French accents today, are you?
No. I mean, Milo's just learning French. My parents, for some reason, decided that I should take Latin in school, because that makes sense.
Latin?
Because it'll help you on your SAT. Oh, by the way, I didn't even... Turns out when you're really good at a sport, the SAT doesn't matter that much. So I can speak a little bit of Latin, which does me no good.
No good.
No. When I do mass, though, when I do marry people, I do sprinkle in some Latin.
Oh, do you?
I was about to say, who speaks Latin?
Yeah. And I'm gonna
Nobody speaks Latin. Nobody speaks Latin.
Who speaks Latin?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No.
No, I mean, you can go to Latin masses. Like, you can go to a Latin mass if you want.
So if you went to a Latin mass, would you understand what was going on?
I could do some of it. I could do I can do the prayers. I can do the Our Father. I can do In the Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can do some of that stuff. But
all right, so you got a little bit of that.
Yeah, but our Latin teacher, for some reason, thought it was a good idea. Like, part of the test was you'd have to translate a passage from Latin into English. And then if you didn't finish in class, because it was a hard class, like, you could do it after school as if we're not going to take the books and study exactly the passage and go back and do it. It's ridiculous.
We bring in, the voice, right? The voice of the station, the voice of the Yankees, the great Mr. Michael Kay. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. We're a little puzzled at what the Yankees did last night, and you certainly have a lot of insight into this baseball team. Do you understand what the rationale was, why they went ahead and took Garcia out and put Happ in inning number two?
Well, I understand why they did it. I think it was a terrible, terrible decision. Throughout the night last night, after the game was over, and this morning, I've been receiving people texts from people around Major League Baseball to a person. They are just baffled why they did it. They did it because they were trying to be the smartest people in the room. And what they did was they started Garcia, and they figured that because they were starting a right-hander that had the possibility to go seven innings, that the Rays would load their lineup with lefties. And the Rays did indeed start five left-handers. So then they brought in Happ, figuring that the Rays were going to flip their lineup and use the righties up the bench to go up against Happ. Kevin Cash never blinked. He never did that. Because the reason being is that Happ is not a matchup lefty where he's going to just neutralize lefties. He's a good pitcher that can get anybody out. It was just trying too hard. And, people keep bringing up the fact, well, you know, a lot of teams use openers. Yeah, when they're desperate and they don't have a starter. The Yankees have plenty of starters. They have five starters lined up for this series, and four if you want to include and say, okay, we're going to pitch Gerrit Cole on short rest. It made no sense to me. Again, I'm explaining to you why they did it. They should not have done it. They outthought themselves. And as I said on the postgame last night, if they end up losing the series, they're going to point to what they did yesterday, and that's going to be the reason why, because you let the Rays back in the series.
Michael, I understand, you know, why they did it. And again, I mean, if Jay Happ comes in and he executes, you know, maybe they look like geniuses. But I mean, the second you sit down with Jay Happ, and the relationship has been contentious for the entirety of the season with, you know, his option and innings pitch and everything else, the second he tells you he doesn't feel comfortable doing it, isn't that when you decide maybe you should pull the plug on it?
In retrospect, it looks that way. And then if you heard what he said after the game, you could see he didn't buy in. And the reason that the opener worked all those years with the Rays, and the Rays started the opener because they didn't have starters. They were trying to piece together 27 outs to win a game, is that everybody bought in. Every single person bought in. You could see Jay Happ didn't buy in. He's 37 years old. Yeah, I know he's had about 36 relief appearances in his life. He's 37 years old. He's a starter. You're bringing him in the middle of an inning. And please, the one thing that people keep saying, well, the reason they took out Garcia is because, you know, he gave up the home run and threw 27 pitches. That's nonsense. Jay Happ was warming up two batters into the game. That was the plan. This was a computer-generated plan, what to do, how to do it. We're taking out Garcia after one inning because we want the Rays to flip their lineup. The Rays never flip their lineup, and the Yankees just have egg on their faces today. They just do. Sometimes you shouldn't try to be the smartest guy in the room. And here's another thing, Rick, that just gets me. Why are you planning for the Rays lineup as if it's, oh, I don't know, the Yankees lineup? The Rays have a moderate to effective offensive lineup. They're not scary. So what are you moving heaven and earth to match up with them and match up with Kevin Cash and get lanes for your relief pitchers? That's what they're doing. I mean, that's the big word in Yankee front office. We have to get lanes for pitchers where nobody could pinch hit, and we know we could bring in Ottavino and get three straight righties. Please, your lineup is so good that you'll be able to score enough runs, and any pitcher the Yankees have in their starting staff could actually battle and stop the Tampa Bay Rays. But instead of giving Happ a chance where he's comfortable and let him start the game, they bring him in the second inning, and it's just, again, people throughout Major League Baseball are texting me, why did they do that? Why did they do that? They didn't have to do that. And I wonder if the Yankees feel that they did something wrong now in retrospect.
So, Case, the Tanaka's going to go tonight. Game four is going to be an elimination game. Any idea on what the plan is for the starting pitcher with that game?
You know what? That's one of the points that really makes me scratch my head. And when I make this point, I don't mean it in a pejorative way toward Jordan Montgomery, but you're now sending Jordan Montgomery, your fifth starter, you're sending him out to either send your team to the ALCS or stop your team from going home. That's the plan, Jordan Montgomery. Obviously, if it's an elimination game, if Tanaka loses tonight, if it becomes an elimination game, Chris, they'll start Jordan Montgomery, and then they'll just use everybody out of the bullpen. But, you know, why put yourself in that situation? You were lined up. Start Jay Happ yesterday or start Tanaka yesterday. Then start Jay Happ today. Then you've got Jordan Montgomery or Davey Garcia, and then you could come back with Gerrit Cole. But right now, you've got Jordan Montgomery, the only guy I could think lined up. And you know, some people are saying, well, Davey Garcia only threw 27 pitches, so maybe he could start. Well, he wasn't good enough to start yesterday and have a real start. You're going to start him in an elimination game at the age of 21 on what would be a throw day rather than well-rested. It just opened up so many problems by making that decision yesterday. I know you're a big Yankee fan, Chris. You probably were scratching your head when it was happening.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were doing, but, you know, I always trust Brian Cashman, but this is one of those situations, Kaster, where it's just like you got too smart for your own good. You got too cute for your own good.
And a big problem, though, guys, you're trying to be the smartest guy in the room when the other guy in the room is pretty damn smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays have a $28 million payroll, and they have the best record in the American League, and you're trying to outsmart them. I'm not saying that you can't, but you're going brain-to-brain with Albert Einstein. Well, why do that? You're a superior team physically. Just go beat them. Take your players. Our players are better than yours. We're not going to go overthink it, and we'll go out and we'll beat you. But instead, they tried to outthink them, and it blew up.
Yeah.
Jason, let me ask you this one question. I mean, we're talking about this decision, and I guess the Yankees are framing it as being collaborative between Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, but this is really a Brian Cashman decision, right?
You know, everybody is blaming Boone on Twitter, and it's a real tightrope to walk because you don't want to insult Aaron Boone, who's a real good baseball man. But one of the rules of engagement in being a manager in baseball is that you have to engage with your front office. This was a collaborative decision where they all sat down with the computer readouts, with the iPad. What are we going to do today? Let's be smart. Let's outsmart them. This was not Aaron Boone sitting there in the middle of the night, springing up and like writing on a scratch pad, I'm going to do this because this is, I think, cool. No. These are heavily thought out decisions where really, really smart people get together and try to outsmart other people. So I don't know if it's Cashman's per se, Chris, but it is a front office driven decision for sure. I think that they give Aaron Boone all the information that he could possibly have and expect him to employ it in the right way. But when it comes to who's going to start a game, I think that's an organizational decision.
Michael Kay with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I really hate to blame officiating or umpires or referees. I'm not a fan of that. But, I mean, C.B. Buckner last night, Michael, some of these calls, it's just it's hard to fathom how he's making some of these calls. The LeMahieu strike three was way outside. There was one to Torres. I thought there was one to Frazier. It's like, what do you say? If you're the Yankees, you just grin and bear it? I mean, you got to be furious about some of these calls from last night.
You have to be furious. I'd be furious at Major League Baseball more so than C.B. Buckner. To me, it's like telling the heavyset kid in second grade, go climb the rope. You can't climb the rope. He's not a good umpire behind the plate. And I would be furious. And the Yankees don't have any kick coming because the Rays didn't have a good strike zone either. Now, the Yankees ended up striking out 18 times, so it really manifested itself that they had a lot of swing and misses and a lot of looks. But I said this yesterday after the game, Dave. I don't understand it. I don't understand how Major League Baseball sends out guys like C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez to umpire high-profile, biggest stage of the year games behind home plate. These guys, this is not Michael Kay sitting back and saying, gee, I don't like that strike zone. No. These guys grade out poorly all the time on balls and strikes. And Major League Baseball is putting them behind the plate in playoff games that are nationally televised where a team season could be on the line. It doesn't make sense. Consider the fact that Angel Hernandez is working a playoff series. He's suing Major League Baseball. And they're putting him behind the plate, and C.B. Buckner is historically known as a terrible ball and strike umpire. And in a best-of-five series, guys, if you really have to use C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez, well, and start them in right field, then they never get behind the plate in any of the games because there's six umpires in five games. Why are you putting him behind the plate in game two of a best-of-five? It doesn't make sense.
I would have taken Enrico Palazzo last night.
At least he would have made it look good.
Exactly, yeah, right. Fun. It would have been a good show, too. Michael Kay joins us here on the show. Michael, and I get they're infatuated with Gary Sanchez. I think Gary Sanchez is uber talented, hasn't had a great season. I mean, we've seen rare occasions, and we saw it in Boston. We saw it in the Cleveland series. He can run into one. But he clearly was struggling with the fastball last night. I mean, why is Mike Ford on the roster if you don't consider pinch hitting for Gary Sanchez in that spot?
Well, I think Mike Ford is on the roster to pinch hit maybe for Higashioka. I think that they would feel very hinky about pinch hitting for Sanchez because he's in there to hit. You know, Higashioka is in there to be the defender behind the plate. So if you do have to pinch hit for him, then you could send up Ford. That's probably why the reason he's in there. And also maybe, you know, an injury to Voit, who has a pretty bad foot. But I've always been a proponent, and I said that they should have started Sanchez yesterday, and I believe that they should start him today against Morton because Morton does not have the overpowering fastball, but it did come to me yesterday just watching him, and I've watched him all year, Rick. He can't get around on a high fastball. Sometimes he'll run into one, but he is overpowered by a fastball with hair on it. He just is, and yesterday he had no chance against the guys that came in for the Rays and against Glasnow. So I don't know if you can continue to run him out there and hope that he's going to straighten it out, especially as the games dwindle down and they gain importance because, you know, tonight if you lose, you're up against, finishing your season tomorrow. So, yeah, I would start him today against Morton because he doesn't have the fastball to overpower him. But following that, the next time they face a really hard-throwing pitcher, even if Gerrit Cole's not starting, I think they have to seriously consider not starting Gary, because this is one of those seasons that you could chalk up and go, it's not going to happen for him. 147, and you know, forget about numbers. Sometimes, you know, the Yankees should forget about numbers, forget about the, you know, the computer printout, and say, okay, what did my eyes just tell me there? And my eyes had to tell me that Gary Sanchez didn't have a chance last night. He just didn't. He didn't come close to any of those fastballs. And, you know, maybe you take a deep breath and you reconvene during the offseason and go, what do we do with Gary? Is he the catcher moving forward? But right now, you've got to put your best lineup out there, and you've got to win a game. It'll be interesting to see what they do tonight. Again, I would start Sanchez tonight. He works pretty well with Tanaka. Morton doesn't have the sort of stuff that would overpower him. But after that, it becomes a really tough call for the Yanks.
Michael, as you know, Stanton made a little bit of history last night. He hit a home run in the fourth inning, and I'm not sure if that ball has landed yet. But I guess when you look at him, you know, five home runs in four games. He's the third Yankee to hit at least four home runs over a four-game postseason stretch. What are the Yankees saying about this hot streak that he's on? Is it as simple as him just being healthy now?
I think that's it. I mean, this is the guy they thought they traded for. And remember, when they traded for him, he was coming off a 59 home run, you know, MVP season. This guy can play when he's healthy. We have not really seen the completely healthy version. You know, the first year he was there, the Yankees had a lot of injuries, and I think he had 38 home runs and 100 ribbies, and he wasn't healthy. I mean, his legs were bad, and he was just going out there every single day because the Yankees didn't have enough players. So he showed them their toughness, the toughness they thought he had, and the grittiness to actually play through being hurt. But the last couple of years, they have not been able to get him in the lineup because he's always hurt. But this time, I think he's okay. And when he's okay, you can't argue the skill set. The skill set is there. That second ball, I mean, I trust StatCast and everything, but I thought that was way farther than 458 feet. I thought that was closer to 500 feet. That was just a blast off his bat. It was unbelievable. And he's a special talent when he's healthy. But you know, as you know, Chris, one of the best abilities is availability, and he has not had that the last couple of years, but he has that now.
All right, Michael. Well, I mean,
Time out. I have one more question.
Just keep him all the way through.
Yeah, I would like to keep him for the entire show if we could. I mean,
anything for you, Rick. You know that.
Thank you.
You're number one.
This relationship between the two of you is uncomfortable.
Well, stop it. Yeah, because I like
it's uncomfortable. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's sweet, but
we don't. Well, you know what? We don't care what other people think. We care what
obvious,
we think.
That's obvious that you don't.
It's all that matters.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Michael, any concern at all with Aaron Judge at the moment?
Not really. He didn't have a great game yesterday, and I believe he has two hits in the four games, and they're both home runs. I still think he's working himself into getting his swing down. He was out for a really, really, really long time. I don't have concern because I think sometimes he does put good swings on it. And yesterday, I think he was victimized a bit by that strike zone,
yep.
Just a bit. So, yeah, I'm not concerned about him. And really, if Aaron Judge doesn't straighten himself out, I always look at him as a linchpin of that lineup. Everything else plays off of Aaron Judge and DJ LeMahieu. So if he's not going to hit, then they don't have a chance anyway.
You got more? Can we?
No, that's it.
You sure?
No, that's it. That's all I got. I mean, no, because I don't want you to get jealous. I mean,
why are you so jealous, Dave?
It's unbelievable.
Jealous.
Yeah,
I'm not
it
jealous.
Sounds like
I mean,
you are.
You've made the statement clearly that you're not a fan of mine, and that's fine.
No. See, you're wrong. I said if the list had gone to five, you had a chance.
No, I don't want to be. I don't have a chance if it goes to five. It went four.
Right.
And I was.
And
even
as
a
Don
thought.
Says in all of his quizzes that he does, who are you taking out?
Please.
Who are you taking out?
What was your four?
It was Rick. It was Larry Hardesty.
You don't even know.
Carlin
you don't even remember.
You had
who?
Carlin in there. You had Carlin.
Carlin.
There.
Carlin was two. Yeah, Carlin was two. Larry Hardesty. Then I had a real battle with, you know, Canty and who was the one who ended up? Oh, Alan Hahn.
So Hahn was four.
Yeah. So who am I taking out?
Any of them.
Well,
any of them.
Time out.
Outside of Rick. Outside Thank of Rick. Because obviously you guys have a very strange and uncomfortable relationship. But outside of Rick,
why,
any of those other
Why is it
out.
Strange and uncomfortable? I like Michael and Michael likes me.
It's strange for adult men to have this
But it's a beautiful relationship.
No,
the fact that Don brings up, oh, he He doesn't even like hockey. He didn't know that makes the relationship better. The fact that he didn't know that I played hockey doesn't
I'm not
like
saying
hockey,
it's
he still
not legitimate.
Likes me.
I'm just saying it's a little uncomfortable and strange. That's all I'm saying.
No, but it's not uncomfortable and a little strange.
If people walk around the station when we're around the station and they're very taken aback and uncomfortable with the relationship.
But it's not weird that a grown man would throw a treadmill through a window because a New York football team is losing. This is strange, but that's not.
It did not go through the window. It hit the window and then came back in. And
you know what? But that's not odd.
I'm not the picture. You're going to compare me to the picture of normalcy? I'm not saying that, but it makes me introspective.
You know what's strange is that Dave actually has a treadmill.
Well, you have to have somewhere to hang the clothes.
We can laugh. I look better than all of you. All of you. I look unbelievable.
Yeah, but see, we were talking about this on the show. It's been a long time since we've all seen each other. Have you really kept the weight off? Come on, let's all be honest with each other.
Yeah. I weighed in this morning. When last you saw me at the bar mitzvah, 198. Yeah. This morning, 204.3.
Well, that's called creeping up in the business.
No, it's not creeping. It's fine. It's fine. All right, we're the show's off the rails. It doesn't surprise me. Do you guys need to have a special goodbye, or can we just go, Michael?
No, you know what? We'll communicate with each other off the air. We don't have to make a big spectacle of this.
All right. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you, bud.
Goodbye.
Thanks. That, of course, is Michael Kay in a creepy somewhat spot. 98.7. Yeah. In these crazy, wild times, there's one thing, Rick, one thing that you can always count on to bring your spirits up. You know what that is?
There is one thing no idea.
Andy and Merrick.
Yeah, I was going to say the New York Jets.
Yes, right. That's number two. Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, DCR. Dave, you gave the tease. It's Wednesday. It's a hockey day. And while you might not realize it, yesterday was the 57th annual NHL draft.
Right.
So we have four NHL draft questions.
Oh,
not
terrific.
Hard. Not hard, but Rick's got to get his thinking cap on.
All right, here we go.
Starting with, in the Islanders' history, they've had the number one overall pick four times. I want you to name all four guys.
All four number one picks. We had myself.
Save DiPietro.
We had Tavares.
Two.
Who else do we have? We had... Was Berard a number one overall
pick? No, not as an Islander.
Oh, not as an Islander. You're correct.
Potvin, no?
Potvin, yes. And in 1972, their first ever pick was?
Billy Harris.
Bang! One
wow,
for
Dave,
one.
Look at you.
Right.
Yeah, I would have known. I wouldn't have known Billy Harris.
That's impressive. Just pretty. I'm here for substance.
So the Boston Bruins have had the number one overall pick three times in total. Most recently in 1997, name him.
Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton is
Jumbo
correct.
Jumbo Joe.
Jumbo Joe is right. Two for two. All right. The first ever American-born player to be drafted number one overall was in 1983. Can you name him?
Brian Lawton, Minnesota yep. North Stars.
NHL Network's Brian Lawton. And finally... In the 57-year history of the NHL draft, the Chicago Blackhawks have had only one number one overall pick. Who is he?
Oh, was
it Kane?
Wasn't it Kane?
It is Kane, and you guys are able. Fellas, let's be careful out there and stay healthy, boys.
Oh, he set you are a treat. Up.
God, he's good.
He's a treat, huh?
It's almost like you coach him. Like you occasionally walk down into the basement and coach Andy up.
Well, I got to make sure he's bringing a high-level game, right?
I mean, he purposely left that for the last. No one we would get it, so he could throw in and you guys are able.
Oh,
I mean,
it's so terrific. Well done. He's a bright man. All right, so we had a feeling this was going to come at some point. I didn't realize so soon. Dwayne Haskins benched by the Washington football team. Kyle Allen will be there starting.
That's a dumb decision.
Don't bury the lead. He didn't just get benched.
He got supplanted by Alex Smith and Kyle Allen.
Right. So you might not see him the remainder of the year. You might never
which
see him again.
Which is stupid because the kid only has 11 starts and
it's
he's
ridiculous.
In his second year. It's
Can
ridiculous.
We at least get to the end of the season and know that he stinks?
That's what I would have done. I don't understand it. That
You're
makes
not
no
going
sense.
Anywhere anyhow. It's not like this saves the season.
But, Dave, that's why they're a dysfunctional organization. They make decisions that make no sense. Kind of like what the Jets did with Sam Darnold after he separates his shoulder against the Broncos. They let him come back in the game, but they're going to bench him and not play him 10 days later when they got a home game against the Cardinals. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar. I would agree. Bad.
What if they're benching him? I mean, they just weighing
him. He's hurt.
Well, no, he's hurt. They said he couldn't do further damage. But now they have to decide, do we give him time to heal up, or is this something that we let him play through for the entire season?
No, Rick, I don't want you to mistake what I was saying. I'm not saying they were benching Sam Darnold. What I'm saying is dysfunctional organizations make stupid decisions, like letting Sam Darnold go back in the game on Thursday night with a separated
or
shoulder.
Or playing Mekhi Becton at all during that game.
That was my point.
Mind-numbing
decision. I actually like the fact that he came back into that game, to be honest.
It's a tough kid.
No, I want the kid to want to play, but I mean, I don't need the organization to let the kid go back into the game. For what? He's got a separated shoulder. If he's not healthy enough to play 10 days later, then why'd you let him play that night?
This is what the Jets do.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.